Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo.
As we were brought in by the fire tones of the Tongans, with whom we give all deference to, I'd like to thank you for listening to another episode of The Outsider's Edge. The Outsider's Edge is brought to you by the Chairshot Radio Network, with whom we use our head and things of that nature. We don't normally do the plugs in the beginning, but fuck it. It's Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash. I'm with my two brothers. I'm with Kyle and Carl. Gentlemen, what's happening?
What's up, man?
I'm a little thrown off by the beginning plugs, but yeah, always use your dick in your head.
I hear Platt in my head doing all the damn plugs, and
we can't all be Platt and just be so smooth with the plugs. I've said before that he should just record himself doing all of the plugs for all of the shows, and we should just loop that on the network.
See, the problem is he'd enjoy that too much.
I mean, yeah, I know, we can't flame his ego too badly.
Gentlemen, how's it going? Everything good?
Yes. Everything's fine.
I mean,
is it like everything's fine in like with the fire in the background? Or like,
well,
literally?
Yeah, it's 2020.
Typically, yeah, typically. Most days.
It's 2020, so like the earth is literally on fire and we are the dog with the coffee cup, just like, this is fine.
No, the most 2020 thing I've seen happen all year, a lot, is they fucking opened the Egyptian sarcophagus, and I was like, of all the things you need to do this year, you want
to
give...
No, they're trying to cancel out the bad juju. They're trying to cancel out the bad juju. 2020 is already so super fucked, they're trying to open the sarcophagus and hope that the dark magic will reset us.
I just
it
knew.
It might have worked. I mean, you saw Fly Sean land on Mike Pence.
Look, leave Fly Mellow out of this, bro. Leave Lil Fly Mellow out of this.
So ridiculous.
His fly,
you know what the funniest thing about that was, though? The fact that the fly was on his head for 2 minutes and left. Like, Mike Pence couldn't even do that. He would talk for 3 minutes when he's supposed to talk for two. The fly actually lived. He honored the time system. That's what he did.
That's not what the most impressive and creepy thing about the whole situation is. The really most impressive and creepy thing about the whole situation is Mike Pence is so not human that a fly landed on his head for 2 minutes and he didn't so much as flinch. Like,
yeah.
Just
wonder if he noticed.
Even acknowledge it. And I'm just like, Rye, you don't notice that insect has landed on you? How lifeless are you? Is the COVID killing you that badly?
I was hoping Kamala Harris would notice and say something, honestly. Just because it would have been funny for her to say something. But she's like, no, I'm letting that go. That's true.
So tonight, when you guys are talking a little too much, we're just going to scream, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
I'm telling you, dude. By the way, I tweeted that in response to some dumb shit Donald Trump said, and I had like 30 MAGA people like it because they thought I was thanking the Vice President.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't understand. But yes, that is now a thing in my house where if you're talking too much, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Yeah, so that's the Outsider's Edge politics version.
Yeah.
So we decided to do something a little different this week. We record the show usually on Thursdays, so you'll get it tomorrow, more than likely. But tomorrow is the beginning of the annual, I think, WWE draft.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's annual at this point.
You know, it's WWE. Annual can be 6 times a year or 1 time a year. Doesn't matter. It's WWE. They make up the world.
Kind of like the 2 minutes in between each Royal Rumble entry?
Exactly. Basically. 2 minutes that last 5? Yeah. So yeah, the draft starts tomorrow on SmackDown and continues Monday on Raw. So we thought we'd give you a mock draft. But before we get into the details and stuff of that, before we started recording the show tonight, I saw an amazingly huge news item that, to my knowledge, neither Carl nor Kyle know about. And I figured I would tell them live on the air. And unfortunately, this isn't one of those times where something funny happens. This is a very serious thing. All right. Samantha Tavel, a.k.a. Candy Cartwright.
Oh, I do know about this.
Is going after Matt Riddle, WWE, and more in a civil lawsuit.
Oh,
Fightful, this is from Fightful that I'm reading. Fightful is where I get most of my news that when it doesn't come from the chair shot. I can see Greg cussing me out right now.
It doesn't come from us. Sean Ross Sapp does good work. Shit.
Good work. Fightful learned that this Thursday morning, Samantha Tavel, professionally known as Candy Cartwright, filed a lawsuit in the Circuit Court of Cook County, Illinois. Against Matt Riddle, World Wrestling Entertainment, aka WWE, Gabe Spolsky, and Evolve Wrestling. According to the documents, Tavel is seeking $10 million per defendant. Skipping to some more pertinent parts, documents from the lawsuit allege that Riddle began sexually assaulting Tavel in April 2017 in the parking lot after an Evolve Wrestling event. The lawsuit also alleges that Riddle bragged about this to former Evolve owner Gabe Spolsky, and that those two entities and WWE tacitly approved of Riddle's alleged sexual violence towards Tavel. Specifically, the lawsuit also alleges that on or about May 19th, 2018, aka Kane, Matt Riddle forced Tavel to perform oral sex on him by choking her. In a press conference, Tavel says that she declined, but Riddle grabbed her by the throat and said, "What if I made you?" The claim states that this was done in front of other members of Evolve while on a bus leaving an event from Summit, Illinois, the site of Evolve 104. In addition, it was said that the misogynistic culture created by the defendants encouraged the behavior, and that WWE has condoned sexual assault in the workplace for over 30 years. Toxic misogyny and the company's duty to refrain from assisting and encouraging the alleged notorious conduct, new word, I've never heard of that before, notorious, I got to learn that, was listed as a complaint towards the companies and Spolsky. It is real. And it's not even so much the money as it is, like, what can that mean if she wins this?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Some more parts of the story is in the lawsuit, it's alleged that Tavel had bookings with WWE and Evolve on or about January 31st, 2020. And that prior to that, Riddle had forced her to perform sexual acts under the threat that she would lose bookings if she did not. Tavel claims that she refused to continue and that Riddle informed WWE and Evolve that he did not want her working with the companies and that she was told issues with talent prevented the bookings. That's a lot of stroke Riddle has if that's true. At least with
WWE. A lot of stroke.
I can see with Evolve, as sad as it sounds, but with WWE, it's a lot of stroke. The document's background states that pro wrestling is a male-dominated sport, and in recent years, females have begun to perform for WWE and Evolve. The history of female performers being hyper-sexualized and performing in lingerie was brought up. Your shit in the past always come back to haunt you. Mm-hmm. As well as the multitude of sexual assault allegations. There is a mention of higher beauty standards for men and a dangerous culture for women. Riddle has denied allegations of sexual assault from Tavel in the past. Allegations emerged in June as a part of the Speaking Out movement, which saw dozens of wrestlers implicated. Riddle has been performing for WWE on the SmackDown brand in recent months, but is subject to roster change due to the impending WWE draft. This is, again, facts are facts here. There are some notable errors in the document, specifying that Riddle was employed by WWE by the time of May 19th, 2018, and he hadn't signed with the company for over a month beyond that point. Evolve Wrestling Inc. also did not exist for several months beyond May 19th, 2018. The lawsuit was filed against each defendant seeking $10 million each. There is an issue with each defendant, and it needs to be addressed within professional wrestling. WWE has profited from toxic misogyny since its inception, which is one of her lawyers told Fightful. In a press conference, of course, they said this: "We would only hope the state's attorney's office will do the right thing and open an investigation into this matter and press charges against Matt Riddle." She also said at the press conference, "I never thought he would do anything to hurt me, and in that moment, I was terrified. Some things are more important than a career."
So one thing that's really important to keep in mind here, this is a civil case.
Yes.
And that matters because the burden of proof is much lower in a civil case. It is a presumption of evidence. So, like, you just have to prove that it's likely that this happened. That matters because it is a lot easier to prove that it is likely that this shit matter or that this shit has happened just based on the things that are already in the public record. Like, it is really easy to make a case in civil court that WWE has a history of a toxic work environment. Like, that is really, really easy to make a case for just based on things that are very common public knowledge.
To your point, to give some proof of what you're saying, Trayvon Martin's killer, George Zimmerman, was not acquitted. He was acquitted in the criminal trial, but he lost the civil trial.
OJ.
Breonna Taylor
was acquitted.
Breonna Taylor's family won in the civil trial, but the policemen who killed her were not. They were acquitted in the criminal trial. So what Kyle was saying is absolutely correct. The burden of proof is so lower that's why you see oftentimes major entities or rich, famous people settle out of court, which is what I imagine WWE will do with her. However, I don't know if she seems like she really wants restitution. I don't know if she's interested in settling.
Even more than restitution, she might be like interested in getting some shit on the record.
That's big.
Think about the people that you got a subpoena to prove some of this stuff. Like, think about some of the people that tweeted some things about, like, confirming a lot of what she said.
Well, like, then on top of that, she said that when the one time she mentioned that he forced her, I think it was May 19th or whatever it was, 2018 or whatever that was, that was in a bus with other Evolve wrestlers. Matt Riddle's best friend is Damian Priest. That's one guy that would have to come to the stand. Like, this is so affecting of much more than just Matt Riddle. Is Matt Riddle worth it at this point?
Not only is Matt Riddle worth it, but, like, from the company standpoint, you know, think about, you bring up Damian Priest. Think about if you're him and you get subpoenaed to testify both against your best friend and your company.
And the company.
The people signing your checks. And it's like, shit, what the fuck am I going to say? I don't want to perjure myself, but...
Well, and that's the thing. You're going to learn a lot about a lot of different people if it comes to that kind of thing, you know, where you've got these high-profile guys being asked to testify or whatever. You're going to start learning a lot more about some of these guys that a lot of us have been sitting here being like, you know, oh, this guy's a scumbag or this guy isn't a scumbag.
And let's also remember this, you know, because a lot of people will probably think back to the many times that Vince has faced down congressional panels and angry mobs and blah, blah, blah. 2020 is a different beast in terms of expectations of decorum and behavior.
Yep.
You could get away with running a sloppy shop in the 80s and 90s with everybody being coked up and doped up and treating the women like shit and blah, 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 and a homophobic work environment and a racist work environment. You could get away with that in the 80s and the 90s and to a lesser extent in the early 2000s. You can't get away with that shit now.
No.
That's true. That's a good point.
And I'm trying to think of the movie that this was set in because it was very poignant. But in every situation, my grandma used to always say what's done in the dark comes to the light. But the bill always comes due. And there is such a horrible history WWE has had with women, with equality.
Look at all the stuff Moolah was involved in.
Well, you're going even further back. I'm talking about even more recent, as in, you know, Chris Stratus having to bark on all fours, walk like a dog, like the things that they used to have to do, right? And yes, to an extent, they accepted doing it, but like the workplace hasn't always been the most equitable for women. This is new to anybody.
Yeah, but, bra and panties rolling around an actual slop.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or like, I remember angles where the women had to literally get naked. There was yes sir.
HLA, hot lesbian action.
Yes, I remember there was a pay-per-view in England, Insurrection, where Jacqueline had to have her complete top ripped off on top of a referee's shoulders for like 5 seconds.
Ed and Lita's live sex show.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm just, so it, everything is on the record, you know? And when you're a guy who believes that there's no press, there's no such thing as bad press. Any press is good press. So you to get attention, do anything, like, you have a network where you sell the fact that you can relive every memory in the history of the company.
Yeah.
Exhibit A, bruh. Exhibit A.
I suppose the question...
Some of those things in the vault that you now own, you may not want to be co-signing right now.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that, like, we're talking about the idea of, like, proving a toxic work environment. Is this going to be more... I mean, yes, the WWE clearly has had that. But in terms of, like... And I mean, I would imagine pretty much every place you work for, there's some kind of toxicity going on in general, you know, depending on what kind of business it is. But the only thing I would say in any kind of counter, and it's really not even a good one, is Matt Riddle's been with the company, what, 2 years now? 3 years, maybe? So is it more along the lines of we've got to prove a toxic work environment during the time period that Matt has been there? Because if Matt hasn't been there, you know, then I'm not sure what Candy Cartwright can prove in that specific. You know what I mean? Like, yes, WWE has it, but
I don't think it's so much of her of her trying to prove that there is a toxic environment. I think her citing the fact that there is a toxic environment with showing some proof that it's happened just helps her case that they don't care about her. Because there's one part of the lawsuit where she says that I had bookings for Evolve and WWE Possible, and they were gone because I was told that there were issues with talent, and the only person that could be issue with is Matt Riddle. So if you have that, and then on top of that, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the company didn't treat women well at all in general. It just is more of a smoking gun, so to speak. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you have reason to believe that they knew about the incident in question and just were okay with that.
Yeah. That's what we've been told. That's what we've been told. Matt Riddle himself said that I told the company upon my hiring that there was this issue with this woman. She was quote unquote stalking me. And that's why WWE seemed to be okay with using him, unlike the rest of the people. So
yeah, I think that's kind of an important point too. You mm-hmm. at the beginning, you mentioned, you know, is Matt Riddle worth it at this point? Well, we definitely know he was worth it to a certain point. And same thing with someone apparently like Velveteen Dream is another one. Apparently, whatever's going on with him is worth it to them at some point. And some guys aren't, like Jack Gallagher, not so much, right? Like Ligero or whatever, not so much. But like,
if
WWE has backed themselves into this corner now, where it's like you went to bat with this guy. Like, what are you gonna do? You know,
if I knew what Patrick had on Hunter, I just I know we make these jokes all the time.
What photos does he have?
Right, we make this joke all the time. But there is something seriously, like, did you hear what he said about Patrick on, Triple H always does a major media conference call right before takeovers.
Right.
And it's really big, and he's always very open with so many different people. And he was asked about it. I don't know. I think it was either Sean or Nick at Wrestling Inc. And he talked about how the one thing that hurts Velveteen Dream is his immaturity.
Right.
Immaturity ain't got stuff to do with texting a dick to a underaged person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Like, what does that got to do? Immature or not, what does that have to do with it?
It speaks to the values of the people in charge. I mean, that's as far as you can do, man. I mean, it's a culture. That's the culture. And I think that just proves more the point of the toxicity that goes on. And this isn't just the WWE, you know, this is every wrestling company.
Society, yeah.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, you know, like, you can take from this what you will, but, like, I'm not shocked that Triple H is an enabler. His best friends were Scott and Sean and Sean and Big Kev, but Big Kev is not on shit, like, with the exception of Big Kev, Hunter's best friends are three of the biggest junkies in wrestling history. And I'm not saying that hyperbolically. They'll all admit to you that they were three of the biggest junkies in wrestling history. His biggest love interest prior to his wife became such an addict train wreck that she, like, eventually died at an ungodly young age. Like, Paul has been an enabler.
Look who's mentor is.
Yeah.
Flair. Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Paul has been an enabler. Of course an enabler.
I think the issue is something that Carl talks about a lot personally and professionally, is that when you in a capitalistic society, you have to ignore morality to make money. And WWE very clearly, for almost the inception of their... Probably since the old... No, I'm not even going to go that far.
I mean, let's look at the Mount Rushmore of the WWE. Hulk Hogan, vile, disgusting, awful human.
Well, Andre was racist.
Austin's a woman beater.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rock has wonderful pecs.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I can't think of anything bad to say about that, man. That was the best I
can do. No, the worst thing I can say about Rock is that he does more steroids now than he did when he was a 7-time world champion.
Steroids are legal, sir.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying it is a quantifiable fact that the man is doing more roids now than he was when he had to be in better athletic shape.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, so I wanted to bring that to y'all's attention and to the listeners. Because to pardon the pun, this is a old WWE statement, but the day of reckoning has come. And Undertaker's lightning, get behind me. Bow, 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 bow.
Shane is snorting in the background like, my time has come. Shane over here on his mound of cocaine talking about this the long game. I was waiting for your ass to fuck up.
I've been waiting 55 years.
I love it. I love that Shane, like, we call him Cocaine Shane, but we think he's the only one that's like, might be decent of the whole family.
Hey, the one drug addict is like a possible drug addict, alleged drug addict. It's probably the nicest. No, Steph is fantastic. I think Steph is a fantastic human.
I'm still just going to give you mad side eye for alleged. That man got coke sweats and nose rubs out the wazoo.
Sir. The lawsuit I just read was in Cook County. The last lawsuit I read about in Cook County was on from a podcast. I am not getting subpoenaed for your ass. Not going to happen. I am not. The thoughts and opinions of Kyle Morris do not reflect the thoughts of the Outsider's Edge or Chairshot Radio or media networks in general.
Shit, you can make millions of dollars and still be a cocaine addict. There ain't nothing wrong with being a cocaine addict. It's just very obvious you got a habit.
Okay. Oh, man. So, yes, the draft. I really want to take this time right now to gloat about how I told y'all motherfuckers about the long-term storytelling, retribution.
We don't know how long-term it is yet. He hasn't officially connected himself to being the hacker yet.
Give it time. But, yes, let's talk
about this. I'm a public school teacher.
There's nobody more patient. That's a good point. There's nobody more patient. Okay, yes. So I'm going to read the rules of the actual draft to you. We'll kind of talk about that for a second before we do ours.
For our longtime listeners, they're basically the same rules as always.
Yes. More than 60 male superstars, female superstars. I can't read tonight. And tag teams have been placed in the 2020 WWE draft. Since Friday Night SmackDown is a two-hour show and Monday Night Raw is a three-hour show, Raw will get three picks for every two picks SmackDown has. Tag teams still count as one pick unless, this is the different part, which is interesting, unless Fox or USA Network in conjunction with WWE officials wants to pick one superstar from the team. The reason it's different is...
Isn't that the same the last time?
Is, but there's no general managers anymore.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's all one company. So it essentially is going to be only the networks picking, and Adam Pierce is probably...
Is Adam Pierce going to have two phones?
I love Adam Pierce, man. I love Strap Daddy.
Thank you. Can I say he is the perennial indie guy, right?
Oh, I'm here for it.
He held NWA on his back for like 15 years, and I'm so happy he's getting this moment in the sun. Shout out to Adam Pierce.
The person that I would be just as excited for as Adam Pierce is Joseph Park.
And I know he's a talent.
I would be just as excited for.
And I know his talent relations in AEW. I know he's got a good gig, but I want Chris Daniels to have a real chance in WWE one day.
Oh yeah.
One day.
I would even be fine with Daniels just doing kind of like Sting did, coming in for like one fun match, like a program with Styles, where he just like brings it back.
I don't even care if he wrestles. He could be Jamie Noble. I just want him to have his moment.
Oh, no. I really kind of want to see him hit the angel's wings on AJ Styles one last time.
The TNA invasion is happening.
Yeah, just one last time.
And the last rule of the draft is any undrafted superstars will immediately be declared free agents and be able to sign with their brand of their choosing.
He's got kids.
Can't say it no more, because he just unsigned an Impact. He's doing the same gimmick in Impact. Well, they won't sign him either.
Because he's got kids.
I'm telling you, we're going to see Breaking Bad version 2, and he's Slater going to be out here. Heath Miller, I'm sorry. I can't call him Slater no more. Going to be out here selling the blue lollipop or whatever it was.
Oh, I'm just waiting for like, when COVID is over and he returns to the company to fulfill the prophecy.
It's gonna take about 2 years, though. It can't be immediately. It's got to be about 2 years.
I mean, y'all know he's going to fulfill the prophecy. And Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre are going to run down to the ring, and we're going to get a 3MB curtain call.
Can't wait.
Shot by Scott, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so the draft pool on Friday is, and I want you to pay attention because there are some notable people not mentioned. Draft pool on Friday. I'm going to run through this fast. Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Dana Brooke, Humberto Carrillo, Elias, who I guess is back now, Angel Garza, Drew Gulak, Heavy Machinery, all four members of the Hurt Business, Mickey James, all three members of the Lucha Booties, because they got Kalisto, so they still the Booties, Drew McIntyre, Murphy, Rey and Dominic Mysterio together, Naomi, all three members of the New Day, Roman Reigns, Ricochet, Seth Rollins, Mandy Rose, as a tag team, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, Shorty G, AJ Styles, and singularly Jey Uso. That's night one. So on night one, the WWE champion, the Universal champion, the Raw Women's champion, the Women's Tag Team Champions, the U.S. Champion, like a lot of major people on SmackDown. And on Monday, Andrade, Bayley, Aleister Black, Alexa Bliss, Daniel Bryan, so Daniel Bryan, I guess, is still wrestling, Carmella, King Corbin, Apollo Crews, Nikki Cross, Dabba Kato from Underground, Ziggler and Rude as a tag team, Eric.
Still a tag team?
They never stopped me in a tag team. Rude just was stuck in Canada with the good healthcare. Eric of the Viking Raiders alone, again, because Ivar is out for a while. Lacey Evans. This will make Carl happy. Charlotte Flair.
Hmm.
Jeff Hardy. Billy Kay. Lana. Keith Lee. As a tag team, Miz and Morrison. Riddick Moss.
He still works there?
Riddick Moss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Hey, good for him. Good for him. Good for him.
You are the general manager of Raw tonight. You need to know this stuff.
I'm looking at the picture.
Natalya, Titus O'Neil, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, R-Truth. This is important to note. All six members of Retaliation.
Retribution.
Same shit. Matt Riddle.
Retaliation is your girl's new name.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, it's Mercedes. Mercedes can still get it, even though she don't want it from me. But Reckoning, yes. Anyway, sorry.
That's toxic masculinity, sir.
Yeah, well, because Matt Riddle is next. That's why. The Riot Squad tag team of Ruby and Liv. Peyton Royce. Arturo Huas.
I don't even know who that is.
Me either.
The Brazilian dude that fights in Raw Underground.
Okay,
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, same.
These are your draft general managers, guys.
Mel Kiper and Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. Yeah,
I've been watching Raw. That doesn't mean I've been watching the Underground.
That's fair. For the record, Arturo Huas is like legitimately the probably most badass guy in the company. Like he's like multiple time. Like black belt, like he's a legit badass. Sheamus, Shin and Cesaro as a tag team, the Street Profits as a tag team, Braun Strowman, keep getting them checks to Mina, Akira Tozawa, Zelina Vega,
Brad Tozawa, you mean? And
Brad, you're right. The Brad the Ninja, Zelina Vega, Bray Wyatt, and Sami Zayn.
Gosh,
our draft are drastically different because those rules are stupid.
So we told you all that to tell you this.
Exactly.
We're doing none of that.
We're going to do 15 picks. Each one of us is going to take control of a brand, and we're going to allow the champions to stay where they are because that's just less complicated logistically. So Brother Rance is going to head up Team NXT because, you know, he's all about that yellow and black brand.
That's my baby.
Brother Carl is going to head up my beloved SmackDown Live because his daughter has the good tastes. And then I will be heading up that other show, Monday Night Raw.
I want you to know, those of you listening who listen to this show, I gave Kyle SmackDown, and he said, no, nah, just Raw. And tell them the exact reason why you said you wanted Raw.
Well, I mean, the exact reason I want Raw is because I wanted Carl to have SmackDown because that's Audrey's show, and Carl and Audrey watch SmackDown together.
That's
but
not
I
what you told
me. Why I told you I wanted you Raw.
Me, and I quote, I want to fix it.
I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it better.
So the few rules we have, and Kyle's laid most of my pretty importantly, is we still got the same thing. You can break up a tag team. You can keep a tag team. Stable, stay together if you want to, or you want to take them apart, you can. I added this just today, if you'll allow me. Because Raw, since they do the whole Raw gets three picks to SmackDown's two, and we're not doing that, I figured to keep the flow of that fair, I'd say Raw gets first pick, SmackDown second, NXT third, and no Snake. So every round is the same way. So that puts me at a disadvantage, but I'm the best drafter because I know all the wrestlers.
Hold on real quick. I'm sorry. I clearly, guys, I do my research. You said all the champions are staying, though, and does that include tag teams because you can't break them up?
Yeah.
It includes tag teams, but the three titles that are floating, unless you want to change this now, we can do this on the air, are the Cruiser, the 24/7, and the Women's Tag Team.
Okay. So with that said, because I'm over here doing a spreadsheet like a geek.
Oh, I got mine ready.
I don't even know who the tag team champions are of NXT.
The NXT tag champs are Breezango.
Yeah.
Really?
Breezango. Yes. Okay.
And then it's Street Profits on Raw, right?
Ooh, the things I would do to be one of those NXT titles.
And Shin and Cesaro on SmackDown, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, here's the question. Here's the question we need to talk about that I haven't asked you yet on the air. You ready?
Yes.
Are we drafting injured people? And what I mean is like Becky Lynch, Karrion Kross, Jimmy Uso. Like, are we drafting them, or are we going to stick to how WWE's doing it?
I mean,
go ahead, Carl.
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of how you look at it. Like, so they're probably going to do another draft in a year, right? So, like, we're probably going to be doing this in a year. So, I mean, like, should we be thinking, like, of this roster as, like, the forever roster, or, like, for the roster for the next year? You know what I mean?
I think, personally, we should do it like they're doing it. But I'm amenable to change. I just find it weird. My first pick is going to be Becky Lynch. What? Motherfucker ain't going to wrestle for, like, 2 years.
Right, so I kind of agree with that. I would leave her out if it were me.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. We agreed.
I thought I was going to ask one more thing, but I think I've forgotten. So, if someone's injured, you need to let me know just in case I picked the wrong person. Okay, all right.
You will.
I got you, sir. I got you. Hold on.
NXT is going to be the one where I struggle the most because I really don't watch NXT very often.
Just leave my people for me.
No, I'm going to draft. I've got some people in mind for NXT, but, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Oh, so does that pull Charlotte Flair off the table?
No, she's in the draft pool. She's WWE's draft pool, so she's in ours.
I thought we were using whoever we wanted, not just the draft pool.
Well, yeah, we are, but I'm saying your question was, is she excluded because we were excluding injured people or whatever?
But because she's in the draft pool is.
Yeah, then she's clearly at least like capable of coming back at some point.
Right, we think obviously they clearly have something in mind for her, probably, then, if that's the case. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, God.
I love that you dinged me in because, like, as you said, I'm going to fix Monday Night Raw, and if I'm going to fix anything in the WWE, I need the person who fixes characters. So the number one overall pick is the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
That's big.
He fixes characters. I've got to fix a show. I need someone who fixes characters.
Bray Wyatt is the first pick off the board. My goodness. All right. All right. Carlton.
So
on the clock.
I know I'm terrible again. Stables are up for grabs, right?
Yes, sir.
They are.
Undisputed Era. First.
You bitch ass. Okay. I don't want to do this no more. Can we just talk like wrestling?
See, I win already. I told you. That's why I made it seem like I didn't know nothing about SmackDown or NXT, and then I was like, bam.
They were literally going to be the first pick because there's no. Oh my god, I can't believe you just did.
Yeah, all right. Threw a wrench in your plan. Should have let yourself pick first.
All right, like you have thrown me for a serious.
And by the way, I just wanted to make a quick explanation as to why, because so I get to keep Roman Reigns. All right, he's the champ on SmackDown, which and I get to keep Bayley. So I've pretty much, in my opinion, I already have. I come in with the best roster, in my opinion. So the best and Roman is going to be hard to deal with for a while. And so I feel like if you bring Undisputed Era in, kind of like how it was when McIntyre won the title back in NXT, you know, you've got a group that's ready made to make his life a living hell.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you have made me completely revisit my draft strategy. That's a great pick. That's a great pick. I'll just say, tremendous pick. I am going to toss my piece of my imaginary piece of paper in my hand in the trash, and I'm going to take my first pick. I'm going to pick Charlotte Flair.
I like it.
Nice.
I'll survive though.
That wasn't a diss at you, but if it hurts your feelings, even better. Calvert.
Well, with my second overall pick, it's your boys, the New Day.
New Day.
Good pick. Good pick. Good. Basically, this is Monday Night SmackDown.
No, I have a plan. But like,
it's SmackDown, dog. It's great.
I have a plan, but first of all, Raw desperately needs tag teams that are not Andrade and Street Profits and the Viking Raiders.
Sure.
Like, desperately. So in the meantime, Big E can, you know, fight against Bobby Lashley. And then, you know, the rest of the Hurt Business.
Sure.
So that is the other thing. The Hurt Business is off the table because of Bobby Lashley, that's brutal.
No, you can still.
You could take the rest of them. I have not drafted anybody without, from the Hurt Business.
The Hurt Business is an entity of four, which means that it'd be different if it was an entity of three. You'd make them a tag team. But they're an entity of four, so they can still be a stable without Lashley.
Yeah.
That's true.
You could take them if you wanted. They would be lacking Lashley, but you could take them.
The CEO, yes.
That's true. And now I'm thinking, because I was thinking with no Lashley, I don't know if I necessarily want him quite as much. But they got MVP. But
he is the most ballinest player.
Yeah. But I'm not going to do it. Let's see. I have no strategy. My strategy was Undisputed Era. I knew that from the beginning. What's up?
Was the fuck with your best friend? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking long term here, okay?
I see.
Let me see here. You guys were so much more prepared than I am, but I'm going to continue to keep this person on the roster, and I'm going to go with Sasha Banks.
Smart. Good pick. I am going to go with my second pick for NXT. I'm going to bring back the father. I'm going to bring back the guy that started it all. And consistently, I think, the most consistent performer in the company.
The Messiah?
The Messiah himself. Seth Rollins is coming home.
That's for our one. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Can you imagine Seth versus Finnegan?
I'm here for it.
That'd be fun. Can you imagine if I had all four members of the Undisputed Era too? But you see what you did to me?
I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy like that.
Oh my god. See, the biggest mistake I made was letting Kyle keep Raw. Because had you had Raw like you're supposed to, you wouldn't have made that pick.
No, probably not. I probably would have just drafted the Hurt Business first and kept them there.
It's probably what I would have done.
Go ahead, Kyle. I just can't believe that I'm so mad right now.
Before I no, I'm gonna draft them as a duo, and I'm gonna justify it with the way that it is. I draft the Gargano way.
Yeah, didn't know that they are a group. That's what
I draft Johnny and Candace.
Nice.
That's a good pick. A little early, but that's still a good pick.
It is early, but like, the only reason I took them is because they're a duo and I get to keep Candace. Because if it was just Johnny, like, that could have waited.
Fair enough.
But I want Candace.
That's fair.
Even Manic Pixie Dream Girl Candace. Candace.
Somebody give that girl some acting lessons, because she's fantastic in the ring, but character work is not her strong point.
I mean, it's not her husband's either. They are a vanilla family that can go.
Fair enough.
So this is, I'm going a little off, and it's definitely early, but I really, 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 really like this guy. And I just think that, like, even though it's only for a year, you know, I just think that this guy has it already almost, and it's crazy to me.
He about to some fuck shit.
I am doing some shit. I'm taking Dominic Mysterio next.
Fuck Dominic!
Yes!
Hey, why y'all hating?
Because Kyle hates this pick so much.
Oh, yeah. Look, man, the dude is got a bright future, and I think you could do a lot with some of the guys that are on that roster right now. I mean,
you know, Dominic Guerrero will be fine.
So for the record, again, I think that's a little early for him. However, he's had one of the best few, like, rookie years ever. And I know how Carl thinks. Long term, this could be a great pick for him. So
he's right about one thing. Dominic definitely has a bright future. I will not take that away from him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here for the nepotism of it all, but like, dude, he's already a better actor than his dad, and he shows promise for someone with so little experience.
And he's a regular sized human. That helps.
Yes.
We're going to do something about that get up though. The gear sucks.
Yeah. And it always shits me out when guys like that do that. Like, bro, we know what your stomach looks like. It's okay. You ain't got to wear a shirt.
Yeah,
he got beat up on live television.
It's not that. Like, clearly he's not a body guy, but like, he's trying too hard to like pay homage to his dad, and it's like, nah, bro, just be yourself. Do your own thing.
So for my third pick, I am going to kind of get back what Carl stole from me. And I'm going to buck the trend and use the greatest loophole in this draft. I am drafting not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but all six members of Retribution. I said the name right. Right?
Yeah.
I said the name right?
Yeah, you did. You did. Good.
For the record, If I may bloviate for a second about Retribution, I told you so. not you two, like the fans. Give them time. Long-term storytelling happens, and Mustafa Ali is on his way to being a world champion.
I will say this, though. The fans are consistent in their impatience, because they did the same shit with Dark Order. And everybody shat on that for the longest, and then give it fucking time to figure itself out, to like work through the kinks, to find who the leader is, etc., etc. And now it's one of the best parts of that fucking show.
True. It's a good point.
You just gotta be patient. But speaking of people who had things stolen from them, and like kind of relating to my last pick, my next pick is Tommaso Ciampa. The Fiend has to fix them and make them a tag team again, and then Candace can do her thing in the women's division.
So, I have a plan I don't know if it'll work.
Rance is just like, what the fuck is he doing with this show?
There are moments in my life where I'm very glad I'm black, because you can't see how my skin is like the color red right now. Because not only have you stolen the Undisputed Era from me, but you stole my favorite person maybe in the company besides Roman.
Goldie needs a new perch.
I've said numerous times there's only one man in my life I'll ever call daddy, and that is Tommaso Ciampa. Well done, sir.
All right. So I have a plan in place. I don't know if it'll work. We'll see. But I am going to separate Bobby Lashley from the rest of his brethren and bring the Hurt Business to SmackDown.
Good man.
But I have a reason.
No, it's a good move.
Yeah, you don't need no reason, but go ahead.
Yeah.
No. Well, no, the reason will come later.
All right.
I see. Look at you. Landing for later picks. I see. Okay. For my next pick, I am going to pick a man who I think in real life will go to NXT. I'd like for it to happen, but I'm going to pick the phenomenal AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Nice.
So right now, that means my top four is Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Mustafa Ali, and AJ Styles. Yes, please.
It's going to be some What's the Work Rate show.
Yeah, they got characters, fool. They got characters. Damn, you're right. I got to pick like a no talent guy now.
My next pick. I'm having to think for a moment. I think I want my next pick to be Rhea Ripley.
Fuck. Fuck. You trying to build a strong women's division, bro. I give it to you.
Who was it? I didn't hear it.
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. I'm sorry. Thank you.
It's a good pick. It's a really good pick.
Yeah, it is. But I'm also trying to build a strong women's division. And so right now, you know, if I'm going with current stories, you've got Bayley and Sasha in a story, right? I mean, that's where we're headed. And eventually Sasha's going to get that belt. But someone eventually is going to have to take it from her. And I know that seems kind of like, well, yeah, that's how it works with wrestling. But this was part of my plan with the Hurt Business. I'm not going to waste any time. They need a female. They need a woman. Uh-oh.
No. Oh, okay. I'm cool with that.
All right. Yeah. I'm here for it.
So I thought you were going to pick the other beautiful black woman because I'm choosing her. I apologize to the homie Tez. I apologize, big homie. But Bianca got to come back and run NXT. I got Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair.
Nice.
I like Naomi and her business, bro. That's dope.
Yeah, that is real. I'm really here for that.
I think it would be like an interesting character change for her. You know what I mean?
She's overdue for heel turn, right?
She absolutely is, and it just works. All right.
Oh, hold on, guys. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm the host. 5 picks into the draft, Raw has drafted the Fiend Bray Wyatt, the New Day, the Gargano family, Johnny and Candice, Tommaso Ciampa, and Rhea Ripley. SmackDown has drafted, in a shocking turn of events, the Undisputed Era, the Boss, Sasha Banks, by himself, Dominic Mysterio, without their CEO, the Hurt Business, and the new CEO, Naomi. And Rance has drafted to NXT, Charlotte Flair, the Wednesday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, all 6 members of Retribution, the phenomenal AJ Styles, and Bianca Belair.
Bianca.
On the draft.
Sorry. All right. You know, I wasn't originally intending to go with women back-to-back picks, but I do feel like I'm going to need another heel. And so I'm going to bring Sister Abigail, Alexa Bliss, also over to Raw since, you know, The Fiend So obviously Alexa got to come too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Dog, Asuka,
I am really enjoying Sister Abigail, Alexa Bliss. Like, I am really enjoying this schizophrenic break.
Worst thing to ever happen to WWE for this one reason. Alexa gonna be gone in a movie in like a year.
Probably, but this schizophrenic breakdown that she is having fantastic. Is so fucking awesome.
It's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Carlton?
Yeah, I'm starting to struggle a little bit here because I'm looking at my roster and I got a lot of heels too, and so I'm looking for some good, solid faces.
You can always turn a heel face. You know. Adam Cole can go the other way.
That's true, and I've got the Hurt Business, and I would probably throw them in there with Undisputed Era pretty quickly. You know, there's some things that you could do. So maybe I should just take value. You know, I don't know. I always think this is where I had a plan in the beginning, and now it's like, okay. Round it out, even though there's 10 picks to go still for everybody.
You see, you shouldn't have gone against your plan and see, God don't like ugly, sir. You shouldn't have stole my people.
Oh boy, you're not gonna like that one for a while, are you?
No, yeah, that bothers me, sir.
Well, I do apologize, but I'm taking another hit right now as a heel. I'm taking another guy to really that you know. There's a lot of young people on my roster. A lot of guys, I mean, Dominic is the Hurt. You know, like, I've got a lot of people that can be – that need someone that you can have great matchups with.
I know where you're going. Great. I know where you're going. It's a good pick.
I'm taking Randy Orton.
Best pick. This is the best pick made in the draft so far, I think.
It's a great pick, yeah.
Randy Orton in the sixth round? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I am stuck here because I'm stuck on three people. And I think I can get away with stealing all three. So I'm going to go with the one that's most important to me first. And, yeah, this is going to hurt. But, yeah, this is what I need to do. I need to bring home Mr. Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Good pick.
I thought about him, too, and because we're talking about faces and heels.
He is limitless. Yeah.
And we go back to his original music.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Please do that.
It's in the contract.
I am going to push hard Monday Night Murphy.
I feel like you guys are picking Monday all my Night favorite Murphy. People. Boy, I swear. God.
Now that he's free of Seth and Dominic and no Aaliyah to hold him back, oh, yeah.
I promise you, if there's one thing I'll never do again, I will never tell you motherfuckers my favorite wrestlers ever again. Never again. Because you will steal them all.
We have not stolen all of your favorite wrestlers. It's just that a lot of the wrestlers you like happen to also be really good.
It's true. You got good taste.
Well, thank you. They try to make it better. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm a nice guy, man, you know. Okay. So, I'm thinking here. I'm continuing here. I'm going to pick value, well-rounded, can play both heel and face, can do all kinds of things. And really, this is also just a personal preference because he still is my favorite wrestler in the company outside of Roman. And I'm taking Kevin Owens.
Right. Son of a bitch. That was going to be my next pick.
Good pick.
Good pick.
Very good pick.
Love me some KO.
Yeah, he's great.
So I'm going to pick, you said your favorite. I'm going to pick possibly the most underrated guy on the roster. And I'm going to take a little liberty because of the team and put him back where he's in the situation he's supposed to be in. Can somebody roll the tongue for me, please? Andrade. And Zelina.
Good pick. El Idolo.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Can you imagine Andrade versus Damian Priest? Jesus Christ.
Oh, that'll be real good. That will be really good.
What you got, Kyle?
The King.
Good pick. You need a piece of shit heel. Good job.
The King.
Yeah.
I love that theme song. Even without, with the horns, it's good, but I liked it before without the horns. I just liked the hook.
That was like the, I think that was the last song Jim Johnston did before he got let go. And you can tell he put his foot in that shit.
Well, you know, somebody had put something on Twitter about the difference between Sifos and Jim Johnson, and they really were right. Jim Johnson made actual songs. Sifos just made 90-second hooks that were catchy as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. So I'm still working on my women's division here, and I'm definitely not done. But I'm looking for, you know, people that you can trust all the time, and I would personally maybe tweak the character a little bit than what WWE is doing with her right now, which I think they might do now that she's split from Alexa Bliss. But I'm going to take Nikki Cross here. So now I've got just four solid women on my roster: Bayley, Sasha, Naomi, and Nikki. And I know I'm not really moving away from what SmackDown already has in that regard, but I'm a big fan of hers, so that's where I'm going to go.
Good.
It's a little early, but
with you putting Naomi as a heel, it changed the whole dynamic because she's never wrestled them as a heel before. So it's basically a brand new roster. Huh. I have to continue the tradition of my brand having the best women in women's division in the business, especially in the company. So I'm going to pick the wonderful twosome of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Thought about Dakota Kai.
I like it. Yeah, I thought about Dakota as well. I'm still working on rounding out my tag team division. So I am going to take Legado del Fantasma.
Oh, that was going to be my sneak pick in like two picks. Oh, I hate you so much.
I'm going to take Legado del Fantasma.
Oh. That's a fantastic pick, sir. That's a fantastic pick. And you bring the Cruiserweight Championship with you.
Yeah. Which is good because it'll give Johnny something to do.
Vanilla midget ass.
I mean, you know, until I put DIY back together, you know, when Ciampa slums it for a little bit.
So. You guys make it difficult for me. I like all your picks. And so I'm just over here and I'm thinking.
Damn, I was going to stick to the motherfuckers too. Damn.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I forgot Kyle watches NXT. I was thinking, these motherfuckers don't watch Wednesdays. They don't know who I'm about to pick.
They don't know shit. They don't watch. So I'm going to pull someone from NXT. For the roster.
I don't like this.
And you guys rave about him all the time. I've only seen him.
I hope it's who I think it is.
But I do love him. What I've watched. I'm taking Kushida.
Oh yeah, that's an awesome fucking pick. So like I'm it wasn't who I thought it was, but that's an awesome fucking pick.
Rance is, that was one of the three Rance.
I am here for Kushida on Fridays. Rance is ready to just walk out of this draft right now.
You know, you try to show kindness to people and offer to have your pick last. And this is what your friends do to you.
Because that was your first mistake.
All right. Hey. Let's see how we're playing. Okay. I'm again, keeping with the fact that I want to have the best women's division, I'm gonna draft the women's tag team champions, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
Good moves.
I like that.
Kushida, you don't even know who Kushida is. If Kushida was sitting in front of you, you couldn't tell me that was him.
No, I know who he is.
I'm going to the moon.
Stay away from my brand. Stay away from my brand. All them people on them two big ones, why do you want to come steal my people?
Who did he just grab? I didn't hear him.
Cameron Grimes?
Oh, you know, he was another one I thought about. And now look, my next pick, I don't think Rance is probably looking at this person, but they are NXT again.
Oh, my God!
So, and here's the thing. I just love
the character and the silliness of it. And she's a good wrestler. I'm taking Shotzi Blackheart. I'm a big fan of her.
Dog, Shotzi's a star. Why would you steal it from me?
Great.
I got a good women's division, man. It's not quite as strong as Rance's, but I've got a lot of good workers.
For the record, Kyle, I'm not mad at the Cameron Grimes pick. It's a great pick in general, but I know that's your boy, y'all Carolina kids. I respect that. Shotzi Blackheart is tremendous, and that's probably, as I know you very well, Carl, she'd probably be your favorite wrestler in the whole company in about
Look, I love that she's hosting Halloween Havoc, too. Like, I'm, like, super hyped for that. I cannot wait. That was, my favorite pay-per-view when I was a kid watching WCW, so I think that's pretty awesome.
Look, because so let me draft this guy, because if you guys draft this dude, I'm going to flip some shit, okay? Because I know you motherfuckers, and y'all do it just to fuck with me. So just so that I can keep my sanity, I'm drafting Aleister Black.
Who? I don't know who that is.
I will be honest with you. I would have never taken him.
I thought about it just to fuck with Rance, but...
So first you're going to steal my people. Then you're going to do the blatant disrespect of not even wanting to draft him? What?
Oh, man, we're great.
Doing it just to fuck with Rance, but I couldn't think of a way to do it without saying his name and, like, ruining the show.
I just want to let those of you listening, I'm recruiting new co-hosts, if you're interested.
Aleister Hack.
All right, so we've reached 10 now. So in the past 5 picks, Kyle has drafted Alexa Bliss, Monday Night Murphy, the King himself, King Corbin, the Cruiserweight Champion, Santos Escobar and Legado de Fantasma, and Cameron Grimes. Carl has drafted the Viper, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Nikki Cross, and a shock that I even know that he knows who he is, Kushida, and Shotzi Blackheart, and I for NXT have drafted the Limitless One, Keith Lee, back together again, Andrade and Zelina, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, and Aleister Black.
Okay.
5 more people.
Curveball, Tony Storm.
That's a hell of a curveball. And you know what else is curved? I'm not going to do it.
I mean, it's a curveball, but it's a good pick for that women's division.
You're right, but there's something else curved on it too, and I don't toxic masculinity, but I'm gonna be good.
Who was it?
Tony Storm.
Oh, Tony Storm. See, and the thing is, I thought about her too. In my head, I was like, NXT UK, so I can't take her.
Of course you can.
Can we say, well, first and foremost, she's officially NXT now, and secondly,
I know. That's why I was like, yeah.
Can we not draft NXT UK people? Is that
sure? Yeah, you can.
No, let's not, because we didn't talk about it, and I don't want you bitch asses to draft Walter out of nowhere, and I'd be pissed.
I would never draft Walter because I know he's not moving to America.
I need him 5 times. Give him the Brock Lesnar deal. That's all I need. That's all I need, bro.
like for real, it's good enough. He's good enough. I'd take it. I'm just saying, like, I know better than to draft Walter because I'm just like, that's all I could get out of Walter is the Brock Lesnar treatment. You'll do WrestleMania and 4 other dates, right?
It's worth it. No, man. No NXT UK just because we didn't talk about it, just to be fair.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, Tony Storm.
But Pete Dunne counts, I think, because he's officially...
Absolutely, because he's NXT.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair. Now I'm kind of jealous because in my head, I'm like, Tony's NXT UK, and then I remembered, fuck, she's NXT because of just recently with TakeOver. My brain, that's what I get for not paying attention. Because Tony probably would have gone before, definitely would have gone before Shotzi there, but that's okay.
So why couldn't you have not paid attention when you drafted Undisputed Era? Because we could have been good and I could have, and everything could have been right in the world.
Well, I'm sorry, man, but I am going to take Pete Dunne right here because the work, I mean, just more matchups here.
We've got like
Roman and Sammy and Orton and all these guys. So yeah, Pete Dunne.
So I keep looking at the roster list, and I keep wanting to draft Cesaro and Sami Zayn, and I realize I can't, and that makes me sad.
I know, right? Me too. I know. I've been having that same thought over and over again. I'm like, I just want Cesaro and Sammy.
But I'm going to keep with the women's division. I'm going to draft Ember Moon.
Oh, good pick. Oh, I was so happy to see her.
Me too, man. And she looks good.
Oh,
she looks
really good. God. I was so happy to see her. Like, so excited. All right. Now it is getting hard, though. I want them both, but I don't want them as a tag team, so I'm not going to draft them. I want just John Morrison. I wanted him and Miz, but I don't want them as a tag team. I'm ready to break that up, so I want John.
Well, Carl about to draft Miz next, so go ahead and get it over with.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's your boy.
I like him, but so here's the thing. I also kind of agree that I think they're going to break him up on Friday, honestly, or whatever. Or is it Monday that they're available? I can't remember. Whatever day it is.
Well, remember the first time they broke up because of the draft. So it's kind of ironic storytelling.
And it would be fitting. It would be fitting if this time Morrison beat the shit out of Miz when they broke up.
See, you smell what I'm putting.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's kind of what I was getting at. I was like, I think they're going to break him up, but they're going to flip it, kind of how they did all those years ago. So that's like, yeah. That's a good call. So I am also probably going to keep going with the women's division here. I'm just right now. I've been going like women's division, and then the men. Women's division, the men, pretty much. But I'm between two people, so I'm just kind of – I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about who I think I could do more with. But I also think I could use this person in terms of character work and stuff like that, and just how great I think she is. And I don't think she's going to be the one to get the push of the two, formerly of the Iconics. I'm taking Billie Kay here.
Interesting. All right.
Good pick. Depth.
Yeah.
I'm going to make both of you very mad because I'm going to make the smartest pick of the entire draft.
Okay.
I am thinking long term. And I am thinking with the specific point. I'm going to draft Jey Uso.
Hmm. Yeah, because you'll get Jimmy eventually.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For sure.
Hey, Rance, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Because I forgot to type one in.
Oh, no, you're good. Yes, sir.
Between Aleister Black and Jey Uso, who was that?
Ember Moon.
Ember Moon, that's right, okay. And Kyle took, right before I took Billie Kay, you took...
John Morrison.
Jomo.
Yeah, Morrison. Sorry, I'm trying to keep up and type in so I don't repick anybody.
You're fine.
Good. I got the list all written down, too. I'm going to tweet it out, actually.
I like it.
Whose pick is it? Mine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just looking at names, trying to like make some decisions. I'm going to bring back the PowerPoint presentations and I'm going to draft Drew Gulak.
Good man. Coach
Gulak. It wouldn't be a draft if I didn't have one of my guys. You know, like I'm sitting here and I look at like, of course I have Owens who I'm a big fan of, but I'm kind of looking at the rosters and I'm like, you know, I need someone that I'm a big fan of and he hasn't been picked up yet. So I'm going to go ahead and take him here at round 13 and I'm going to keep Sheamus on SmackDown.
Good for him.
You know, I just looked at you. You bringing up Drew Gulak made me realize we haven't drafted Daniel Bryan.
I know. I was just thinking about that. If you hadn't taken him, I was going to take him next. I was like, shit, we haven't taken Daniel yet.
Daniel Bryan, please. And thank you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. NXT is honestly the right place for him in terms of how many dates he would want to work at this point.
Agreed. Get that cushy-ass Finn Balor deal.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So, yeah, no, that makes perfect fucking sense. Gosh, now we're getting into the nitty-gritties.
There's a lot of talent on the board. It's just the
young kid. But it's just like, what direction do you want to go? Because like, there's only two picks left. And You know, this is going to be this is a weird pick, I think, but it's not because he's fucking awesome. I'm going to take Bronson Reed.
Good pick.
With our boy Malcolm. I'm going to take Bronson Reed and our boy Malcolm as his manager.
I don't know if I'm going to let you take Malcolm, sir. All right, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised, although I think he's hurt, but he's in the pool, the Friday draft pool. So I don't know. I'm not going to skip over him if you guys aren't cool with that.
But Elias? Elias?
Not Elias. I thought I heard that Angel Garza was hurt. Maybe I heard that was Humberto Carrillo that's hurt.
No, Angel's hurt, but he's not hurt where he can't wrestle no more. Like, he's going to be back soon.
All right, well, I'm taking Angel Garza here for SmackDown. I love that guy, and I want him on my roster.
Okay.
That's the explanation. So.
No, Angel's good.
So I am going to take a little bit of liberty with my next pick and make a tag team that isn't officially a tag team, but they have worked together on screen. Is that okay?
I'm fine with it. I think I know where you're going with this, but I'm fine with it either way.
I was finding some kind of way to draft the homie, Swerve Scott. And if you watched this, the takeover, Ashanti the Adonis came and helped my boy out. I want to draft him as a tag team, so I'm drafting Swerve and Adonis.
That wasn't what I thought, but okay, cool. I like it.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick.
Thank you. Last pick, gentlemen. Last pick of the draft.
I know.
Do you want to push it to 20, or are we good with this 15?
No, I mean, I'm fine with 15, but it's just anytime it's your last pick, it's always hard.
Carl, it just hit me who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
It just hit me who you were thinking of. I still might draft him, actually.
I know how I'm taking last, as long as Kyle doesn't take him, but, you know.
I'm trying to think of who I'm going to take still. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I know who I want to take as a homer pick, but, like, it's not a good long-term pick.
I got my last pick. I got it. I'm ready to go.
I know you're ready to go. I'm still working on it.
No rush. I'm just saying I feel confident.
Oh, good. That's good. Good. I'm glad that you feel confident. Confidence is key. Okay. I think for my last pick, I am going to take... Fuck it. I'm going to take the homer. My last pick is Jeff Hardy.
Good pick. That's a great last pick.
I definitely wouldn't.
Jeff Hardy could be world champion tomorrow, and the fans wouldn't
bat. No, like I would love for him to get one more like feel good run and bring back No More Words.
Well, he said when fans coming back, it's coming.
I know.
He said, and this is how I know is the truth, because he said that was part of his contract.
I'm ready for it. I love No More Words.
Carl, last pick, sir.
Yeah, I know it. Really, the person, I don't know that I even necessarily want to take this person, but it's almost criminal just because of who he is not to take him. And so I'm sitting here thinking, like, really? Like, I don't care for him, but I know he has appeal. So it's kind of...
It's your draft, man.
I know it. Yeah, I'm just going to do it. I was going to take another person for the women's division, but I'm going ahead and change my mind. I'm just going to go ahead and take Braun Strowman here in the last with the last pick.
That's a great pick, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of him too, but I decided differently. Good pick. And Braun has a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm. Like, he does.
Sit here and we act like Braun isn't like a major cog of the company. He's a big part of it. With my last pick, I needed one more tag team. And ain't no tag teams. So go with a tag team.
I just left them alone for the most part.
Look, you wasn't wrong.
You could get the Lucha Booties without Kalisto.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Thank you. That's not going to happen. Carl, was the two people working together that you thought I was talking about, was it Drake and Killian?
Actually, no. I'll go ahead and tell you, though. I was thinking Apollo Crews and Ricochet, because weren't they working together a little bit?
That's actually who I was going to draft. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. Yes,
I'm drafting Apollo and Ricochet.
I thought about drafting one or the other. I did not think of drafting them as a tag team.
I wouldn't want them if it was one of them alone.
No, I agree. They're better as a tag team.
But then I agree with you on that. I wouldn't have taken them as separate either. Not with 15. Not in first 15 rounds, at least.
Now, imagine if you had snuck Malcolm Bivens with fucking Bronson Reed, who doesn't need him. And
I wanted Malcolm Bivens.
I feel you. Okay, so at the end of our Outsider's Edge first annual mock draft, the Raw brand ran by general manager Kyle, the what's your nickname? The
Sage of the Squared Circle.
Yes, is Bray Wyatt, The New Day, Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, Tommaso Ciampa, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Murphy, King Corbin, all three members of Legado de Fantasma, Cameron Grimes, Tony Storm, John Morrison, Drew Gulak, Bronson Reed, and Jeff Hardy.
I think you should also add who the champions are so they know what you're dealing with.
Thank you.
Oh, well, our champions are Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley,
and the Street Profits.
And
Asuka.
Oh, and Asuka.
Yes.
I also got the cruiserweight title because I got Legado del Fantasma.
Because he's an asshole who likes to steal people from his best friends.
not as egregiously as I do, apparently.
No, yes. And look, when you had to see me eventually, bro. I'm just saying.
catch him in these streets.
On the SmackDown brand, Carl has drafted the Undisputed Era. Sasha Banks, Dominic Mysterio, The Hurt Business, without Bobby Lashley, of course, Naomi, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Nikki Cross, Kushida, Shotzi Blackheart, Pete Dunne, Billy Kay, Sheamus, Angel Garza, and Braun Strowman. Carl, tell everybody your champions.
Yeah, so my champs, I have the Tribal Chief, Universal Champion Roman Reigns, the true Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn, the SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley, and the SmackDown Tag Team Champions Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro.
And me over at the little bitty old gold black and gold brand, I have drafted for NXT Charlotte Flair, Seth Rollins, all six members of Retribution, AJ Styles, Bianca Belair, Keith Lee. I just realized that on top of my women's division, I got Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez too. I just realized that. Retribution. AJ Styles, Bianca Belair, Keith Lee, Andrade and Zelina Vega, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, the Women's Tag Team Champion Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, Aleister Black, Ember Moon, Jey Uso, who hopefully will be soon reunited with his brother, Daniel Bryan, Swerve Scott and Ashante the Adonis, and Apollo Crews and Ricochet. And my champions are NXT Champion, the Big Hog, a.k.a. Finn Balor, the NXT North American Champion, Damian Priest, the Tag Team Champions, Breezango, go ahead, get it out.
Oh, they're just both so fine.
and the Women's Champion, and I believe, no offense to Bad Bailey, but the best Women's Champion in the business, Io Shirai.
I like it.
Tweet us at the Outsiders Edge CS, at Outsider Curvin, at Dr. S'mores, at It's Ray Cash. Hit us up. Tell us who you thought had the best draft, what you liked. Tell us who we were dumb as hell not to draft. I see a lot of people complaining that there's no Miz. I see some people complaining about quite a few things, actually. There's no Dolphin Rude. There's a lot of people that weren't drafted that would normally be drafted. Let us know. Or we fucked up. But yes, gentlemen.
And also, was going to say this. You know, there's a lot of people. There's some injured people here. So, like, for instance, there's no Becky Lynch. But eventually Becky Lynch will come back, right? So, I mean, we think so. Like, maybe you could even add where you might place some of these other people that are injured and maybe will come back at some point, you know, like a Becky Lynch. Or even someone who actually doesn't even have a contract right now, like Brock Lesnar, you know, if he were to re-sign.
That's a good point. Yeah, I wouldn't even think about Brock. Well, this is what we can do. I've been long wanting to do a full-on chair shot draft per show. So we have the Greg DeMarco show as one draft, have us as one team, have Pot is War, you know, and so on and so forth, and have
you
all
try
the show.
To moderate that many people?
I mean, we don't have to do it over, it doesn't have to be a podcast.
That's true.
It could be an article, and we can just tweet it out. You know, we could do it that way.
Yeah,
and that way we can encompass not only the all WWE but everybody. Because I'd be curious to see right now. In fact, that's how we'll end the show before we have our goodbyes. Carl, Kyle, and myself, all three of us. If every company be damned. All titles be damned. Who's the first pick of every professional wrestler active in the world? I say active, I mean like even if they're injured. Right? Of all active wrestlers in the world, regardless of company, regardless of brand, regardless of title, who are you drafting?
It won't surprise the listeners at all. It'll surprise some people because it's not like the biggest name in the world, but mine is Hangman Page.
Of everybody in the world, you're drafting Hangman Page.
Mine is Hangman Page.
That's big.
I love Hangman Page. So like if I get my pick and it's my fucking money and I get to sign somebody and I get to do whatever the fuck I want, sure. I pick Hangman Page.
Yes, sir. I have a question. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's clear. It's Roman Reigns. Best character, best wrestler, best all around, period. Roman Reigns.
Agreed completely. I also want to pick Roman Reigns, but in the interest of being interesting, I'm not. I am between three people.
I think there's some clear names, but I'm curious to hear what they are.
So the three people I'm in between are, of course, Naito.
Of course.
Charlotte Flair.
Okay.
And honestly, the person I'm going to draft, and I'm going to hate myself for this, but I can hate myself more than I hate you guys right now. I am drafting, if I had my chance to draft the one person and build my company around.
Oh, how is a clear answer?
How it? I think it's pretty fucking clear. If it's not Roman, it's got to be Okada.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be
absolutely.
Yeah,
like if you didn't say it, I would. Yeah, if you didn't say it, I would have said like the clear, obvious answer is Okada. I just picked Hangman because I love Hangman.
Isn't Roman? I mean, isn't Okada still like in his 20s?
He's like 27, 28, something like that. Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
Might be 29 or like about to turn 30, but like he's still very fucking young.
Yeah, like Roman is my age. He's 35, so I mean, he a guy like Okada at his age, like
he's 32. He's 32. Okay.
Still, that's right in the middle of your prime right now. I mean, you're picking essentially. And if I didn't say Roman, it would be Okada. They're 1A and 1B in my opinion.
Speaking of youth, you know. Hangman is only 29, so like
okay, I like
years to build around that.
I like Hangman a lot. I just don't pay that much attention to AEW, and so that's kind of part of my issue. Is there's not a lot of guys over there, with the exception of Jon Moxley, that I would build a company around.
Speaking of youth, You know who we can go with if we don't want to go with Okada? Jay White is 28. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, White is really young. Yeah, White is really young. I always forget about how young he is.
Get us out of here.
I remember when he was a young lion. Well, y'all, you as always, remember, we here at the Outsider's Edge are some increasingly older gentlemen doing the best we can out here in this world to, you know, make a living and avoid the Rona. And sometimes we're going to say some things that are going to piss you off, and sometimes we're going to, not draft your favorite people in our mock draft and have some ridiculous takes. But no matter what, y'all, remember, we're just out here chasing our dreams. And, like, you got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, we just don't give a fuck.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I'm not saying it because you stole my shit.
Catch you next time, y'all.
See ya.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.